welcome to the Soft Tattooed Millionaires Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm joined by my brother, Max. Max, how's it going?
It's going very well. Officially, the average age of this podcast roster is 31 years old and 361 days.
Oh, nice.
Max, we'll get to all average ages and rosters later on in this podcast. But so I'm doing well. How about yourself?
That made me sad to hear for some reason, and I was too busy processing my sadness to have an appropriate response. I'm sorry.
I heard some melancholy in your voice when you realized that, yes.
I have been thinking about this podcast all week because I was thinking about the dynamic of this podcast, and I was listening to Max and Herrick in the Football Ramble and On the Continent and Top Drawer Soccer Show. And what I realized is that we get along too well to have a podcast. So
you think
much,
so? Yes. So we're disbanding?
Yeah. Well, I think so much podcast time is just spent on people disagreeing and making fun of each other. So maybe we should let people in into our lives as brothers a little bit. And I think it may be, this isn't me making fun of you, but I think people should know that you always had the top bunk.
And I can't imagine not having the top bunk. And recently, I was talking to the CEO of my company, and I'm thinking, this guy's a CEO. This guy always gets top bunk. You know what I'm saying? And the company recently went to South by Southwest, which you're familiar with as someone in Austin.
It's true.
And they did an Airbnb, and he slept bottom bunk.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, dude. If you're the CEO of a company, you've got to go top bunk only.
Maybe it was overly self-aware piece of humility that he wanted to display to his underlings.
Yeah.
I don't know. So. Gross. Bad move.
And when he's mentioned to me that he slept in a bunk bed at South By, I was like, top or bottom?
and he was like, I'm so glad that this is happening.
Anyway.
All right, yeah.
So I definitely was the top bunk person. What can I say about you that is argumentative and embarrassing? I could say that you had a giant head as a child.
I still do.
The past tense of you having a giant head, it is a continuous past tense. You still have a giant head. It was especially noticeable in your early days because you were so small, and now you're 6'1 or 6'2, right? What are you?
I'm 6'1.
Yeah, so you're 6'1 body in the 6'1 head in the body of a very small baby. And it's in The Wire when they talk about how a puppy has big paws. We have gone hat shopping together, and you have failed to be able to purchase a hat because they did not have anything in your size.
I think the exact words were from the hat salesman, the haberdasher.
Milliner.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, if I carried hats that size, I would sell one hat a year.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I am both literally and figuratively big-headed enough to have this podcast, and I'm enjoying it. But now that we've allowed people just a glimpse into our lives. Also, Chibi said that our mom thought I had hydroencephalus, that my head was so big. I had to go in and get it measured once a year.
Maybe I'm exaggerating this in my memory, but I believe the exchange when something like mom took you to the doctor's office for a checkup, and the doctor was like, any other questions you have for me? And then our mom was like, yes, is there something wrong with my child's giant head?
As I was falling over. excellent. Well, let's start off this week the way we do every week, three on, three off, which is three things we're putting on the field and three things we're taking off the field in regard relating to American soccer. Max, I think you're going to go first this week, and you're doing three off. So what is the first thing you're taking off the field for American soccer?
Christian Roldan and the Seattle Sounders midfield in general really just could not hang on to the ball. And Christian Roldan got better as the CONCACAF Champions League game went on. But for the first half, he was just coughing up possession. And as Seattle struggled to hold on to possession, to slow down the pace of the game, instead of just giving Chivas everything, it was just an opportunity for someone, anyone in that midfield to stand up, and it was frustrating to watch it happen. And it seemed to it's now that all those teams in CONCACAF Champions League have lost or tied. I think they all lost. Anyway, in this weekend's MLS action, that it's easy to jump to the conclusion and think about like how tired these players are, especially early in the season. And so maybe there's some excuse there for Roldan and others that they're playing a little bit too much. Maybe that's because MLS teams aren't just in full swing quite yet, but also don't have like real full fitness. So playing two games a week is not great, but still, man, somebody, anybody, stand up in that midfield and take care of the game.
Yeah, I think it's a big ask at the beginning of the season to be doing CONCACAF Champions League every week too. And the game today with the Sounders was a terrible display by the Sounders. Clint Dempsey losing his head, elbowing, yes. Yeah, elbowing Ja'Cory Hayes in the stomach, the deuciest of red cards. Do you know he didn't get a red card for the first 11 years of his career? And now he gets one. He averages about one a year now. But it just seemed like the Seattle Sounders were just leggy, weren't in the game mentally, just tired. But Dallas looked really good, which always makes me happy. But yeah, anything else you want to say about the Seattle Sounders midfield or any more crapping on you would like to do?
I guess I haven't talked really in depth about Roldan, and it just seems like he's becoming one of these players who you keep expect. You see enough flashes of exciting play from him and creativity that you're like, okay, yeah, I see it. And then you feel like he just never actually takes that step up to be legitimately at the level he should be at. So frustrating watching him play, and I just want better play from him.
All right, fair enough. The first thing that I'm putting on the field is NYCFC, the whole team. Mostly because I feel guilty for not talking about them ever. I used to live in New York, and I just never cared. A lot of my neighbors got really into NYCFC, but I felt like I was doing them a disservice. They've started off the season undefeated. The only other undefeated team is LAFC. They've only played two games. NYCFC, all three games, victories. I think that most of the attention in New York is on Tyler Adams and co. and what's going on with the Red Bulls. But NYCFC quietly becoming a force to be reckoned with, even though their stadium is awful and they should be ashamed. The link-up play, especially on their second goal against Orlando yesterday on Saturday, shows just what this team is capable. It should be noted that David Villa didn't even play on Saturday, and they still looked quite sexy.
Yeah, what can I say that? I agree. I sort of feel like my eyes get drawn to the Red Bulls, and then you're like, well, that's the team that's doing quite good. So, but maybe I shouldn't agree with you.
No, yeah, don't.
Yeah, that's right. You're wrong.
Yes.
That's a terrible opinion.
I know.
How can you have opinions like this?
NYCFC is the least hipstery team in the league, maybe.
And that's true.
And I think that's what kind of...
Damn it, now I'm agreeing with you, disagreeing with yourself. You can't do this. Can we just edit at the point where you made a good counter-argument and then I make it instead? So like now I can just be like, well, here's why I don't like NYCFC. They're old school MLS. They're standard MLS. We need hipster MLS. Mm. We need Atlanta United. We need Red Bulls young players. We need all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, to be fair, I might just edit all of this out. let's just move on. What's the second thing you are putting are taking off the field this week?
So I'm taking off SC Telstar's Wikipedia page.
I'm already disagreeing with this.
What? Have you looked at it?
It's quite barren, but anyway, keep going.
Yes. It is like, I was like, oh, I'll do some homework on this club. Yeah, good luck with that. They have like, how could this team like have almost no information? There's some good stuff there. So Telstar, apparently it's the name comes from satellite that was launched, the which
greatest,
I like.
Yes, the greatest team ever named after a communication satellite.
Right, like it sort of made me think they're kind of like the Montreal Expos of the Netherlands, second division, yes, or whatever. Because like it's named after an event.
Yeah, and, like Crystal Palace. I've always loved that.
why? So I was thinking, like, why? We need to have more teams named after events.
Oh my god. So okay, so we're both from Milwaukee. What would be Milwaukee's MLS event-based name?
Oh, I don't know. Can you even think of a good city that has an event that you could? Maybe, I mean, the San Jose Earthquakes. That's not really the quite, but it's not quite the same thing. It's
I mean, a single yeah. event. What if you were like the Selma marches or something like that? I mean, but that's not a major city. Or I'm trying to think of positive events, because when I think about Milwaukee, I can only think of like the Milwaukee Cannibals, you know, or the, you know, like, or the Milwaukee...
about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying for those to of you who things. Don't know their Milwaukee history and just assume that we were once like in some sort of the road post-apocalyptic nightmare. Yeah. No, it's just Jeffrey Dahmer's.
Yeah, this big juicy head of mine couldn't possibly handle a post-apocalyptic cannibal society.
Yeah.
People look at me already and just see a giant drumstick.
Well, I mean, I was thinking maybe the Chicago Fire is kind of like that too. Yeah, and it's also weird because like the Chicago Fire is like that the event, the Chicago Fire is so frequently talked about in Chicago. It's like it's part of like the star flag. Every tour you go in the city talks about it. It's so like ingrained that it doesn't feel like it memorializes something rather than just like, you know, in the same way that like the Milwaukee Brewers like just take this thing, beer making, and make it even bigger by putting it with the team name. Mm-hmm. It doesn't like memorialize a specific event as much as it just sort of like captures a pre-existing like culture of talking about the fire that everyone is interested in doing anyway. Yeah, I don't know. So maybe if it's like, that's what I was trying to think to you, like Miami, is there something that Miami could memorialize?
I'm sure there is. I think that's just maybe a natural flaw in studying history is that it's just travesties, right? So,
yeah. And these things are also like not the greatest things, like the Expo.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But, or the satellite launch that SC Telstar is named after. Maybe we need to think smaller.
Yeah. I guess like the space exploration base names, like the Houston Rockets, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But also that's not a single event.
Yeah, like for example, if Houston had like the Apollo 13s or the Apollo 10s or something, I don't know, that might be interesting. But let's keep this in mind, because as you and I both are somewhat critical of, or I actually kind of like the arbitrariness of MLS names, the FCs and the SCs that aren't quite FCs or SCs, mm-hmm. the Reals that are obviously not Real. I mean, I like the playfulness of this, but I think, yeah, maybe one of these new teams could be could capitalize on something cool like that.
Yeah, I would be really happy to hear anybody's suggestions about their own hometown names if they had to choose one based on something good, underlined good that happened.
This is maybe self-reflexive, but let's say the Crew stays in Columbus. Mm-hmm. Could the team ever adopt Save the Crew as part of its official brand?
I think the Columbus Savior sounds a little bit high and mighty.
But yeah. I mean, like, even if it was like the Columbus STC.
Oh, that would be dope, yeah.
Right? You know, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Great.
So Telstar, SC Telstar, give us some more information about yourself.
Yeah, I was also on that.
I did learn that Novakovic, who's the young American player who's playing with them, he scored, I think it's like 17 goals or something like that. And he's 9 goals away from being tied for 20th all time in the club's history for goal scoring. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, he can get there, be 20th overall. Anyway, all right, let's move on. What's your next on?
I'm putting on VAR because it will literally be on the field. Well, I guess not literally. It's, you know, it's camera. So I'm like every other millennial overusing that word. But FIFA announced
it's literally in a sort of like Heisenberg uncertainty principle. The fact that the cameras are watching the field changes the atoms on the field in some way or another.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're agreeing too much. Fuck the Heisenberg principle of uncertainty. FIFA announced that VAR will be in use this summer at the World Cup. So I'm actually in favor of VAR. It's already been in use in the Bundesliga, Serie A, and the MLS. What do you think the average time it takes to review a VAR decision is?
Ooh, 5 minutes?
40 seconds.
Really?
Yes. So I think what people have a huge misconception, partly because most of the soccer that we're watching is the Premier League, at least sort of like hipster soccer culture in America, and they don't have it figured out yet. So Serie A, for example, last season the average time was about a minute 20 seconds, but that's been cut down to 40 seconds. So I think VAR is sort of an implacable future for all of soccer, and I think we need to adopt it and improve it. The more quickly, the sooner, the better. And so I think we just need to get behind this. I think because we watch so much British soccer, and especially
Spurs fans. Yeah, when you say the Premier League, you mean like the FA Cup and that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. I just think of Spurs fans, you know.
Yeah.
So VAR ensures that this will be a hand of God free World Cup. It's not maybe not a perfect system, but I do think VAR, like I said, is a future. We need to embrace it. I think it makes soccer better. We are all way overreacting. 5 minutes, no, 40 seconds, and that time will go down.
Hey, you've maybe convinced me.
For the first time ever, what are you taking off the field?
I had a list of other things. I was going to suggest Clint Dempsey's elbow. You've already covered that. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say that I would take off the Fox Sports Atlanta announcer and the Sporting KC announcer who said the following things in those two different games. The Fox Sports announcer said, "You're beautiful, Atlanta. Never change." And then the Sporting KC announcer said, after Graham Zuzzi scored a peach of a goal, the KC announcer said, "Graham Zuzzi for president."
I did hear that.
I know being an announcer is hard, but man, that kind of stuff is just lame as F. So
yeah, I think I have some young man's rage when I hear that shit. Although, I mean, I basically say stupid shit into a mic for an hour.
Yeah, that makes me think that, yeah, I having listened to some of our podcasts and heard some of the stupid things we say.
Yes.
It's like, it is really hard to talk. So I do have some sympathy for those guys, but
you're Graham beautiful, Zuzzi Atlanta.
Never change. Graham Zuzzi for president. That's what you're going to use to, like, you know, memorialize Graham Zuzzi's goal.
An incredible goal.
It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It was so bad. It took me out of the moment. I was like, wow, that was an amazing. What did he just say?
Yeah. Maybe like
for
the
president at this time? You're joking? No.
Maybe in order to like become a professional announcer, you need to like date somebody's mom for two dates, because that's sort of the personality I'm hearing in these don't ever change, Atlanta. Graham Zuzzi for president.
That's true. American broadcasters are basically like a hall of fame of stepdads.
It should be said that we've never had a stepdad, so
yeah, but yeah. Yeah, you get it.
Yeah. Our mom is single. Broadcasters. All right.
Keep your hands off, Zuzzi.
Graham Zuzzi for dad. All right. The last person I'm putting on is Andrija Novakovic. Is that how you pronounce it? This is the...
I was guessing it was Novakovic.
Yeah, Novakovic.
I don't know. That sounds right. That sounds like probably like a basketball player that came over from Lithuania or something.
Yeah, he killed on the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
But kind of seems like this week everyone's been talking about him. He's 21 years old from Muskego. Pause. We have to shout out Muskego, right? We're from Wisconsin. I got married in Muskego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote a poem that talked about Muskego for your wedding.
Lovely. I guess that's all we know about Muskego. Sometimes I kayak out there. I don't know. Anyways, Novakovic. He's a Reading player on loan at second-tier Dutch side SC Telstar. We've already been over them. Communication
the Fighting Satellites.
Yeah.
their name is actually the White Lions.
Yes, it's true.
Which sounds like a paramilitary group in North Carolina, but...
It also sounds like some sort of European street term for a drug that I am familiar with but would never call it White Lion. Why can't they just be the Fighting Comsats? But he has 19 goals and 4 assists in 30 games, second leading scorer in the Dutch second league, and he's just earned his first call up to the U.S. men's national team for their friendly against Paraguay on March 27th. And I think we're going to go and talk about that roster announcement.
Hold on.
What?
Before we do that, I want to dig into Novakovic a little more because I did some good social media stalking of him.
Oh, I couldn't.
You couldn't?
Yes.
He's really good for the league. He's been performing really well. He gets man of the match all the time. He scores a lot of goals. Makes sense. Every time he gets man of the match, he posts a picture of his man of the match winnings, which for the White Lions is okay. What do you guess if you get man of the match in the Dutch, second division or whatever? Mm-hmm. Would you guess would be delivered to you as your man of the match winnings?
Wait, so it's not cash? That's when you say winnings, it's kind of what I assume.
It's like two presents, yeah, that he has.
Okay, so man of the match, Dutch second league, communication satellites. Maybe they got some tech. it's from the team, right?
I assume so.
I don't know anything about Dutch culture, really.
So it's not particularly like Dutch, but I would say so he gets
great. So my still life and Stroopwafel.
It does seem quite still life like. It is. He always posts these pictures of a bouquet of white flowers from the White Lions, and then a bottle of Moet or Moet, mm-hmm. Moet champagne. Mm-hmm. How much I know about champagne, so. But that's what he gets all the time. So his Twitter has got plenty of those pictures in it.
Oh, that makes so much more sense. I saw that. I was like, this guy is super romantic. He's got terrible taste in champagne, but...
Yeah, you're a bartender. How would you criticize or how would you classify his taste or the team's taste in champagne? Because you've actually worked at wine bars and stuff.
I have worked with 3 master sommeliers. So, yes, I have worked at bars, but I'm not particularly a big snob when it comes to wine. I would just say it's uninteresting.
Mm.
Serviceable. I would say crushable, perhaps.
Meaning that you can pound it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, so if you win man of the match for SC Telstar, you get some serviceable champagne and a bouquet of white flowers.
That sounds great.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I'd take that.
So if you were to have something man of the match delivered to you, what would it be?
What league am I playing in?
Mm. Okay, let's say this. You're an MLS team.
Yes.
You are, let's see here. Let's say you're Real Salt Lake.
Okay.
What do you deliver to your players for a man of the match performance?
It's a pretty dry area, so no booze. Real Salt Lake.
Passing like a 2-liter bottle of 7-Up.
Yeah, exactly. Most whole, like a copy of
caffeine-free, Mormon-approved, non-alcoholic drink.
Copy of Napoleon Dynamite on VHS. I mean, it's such a beautiful stadium in Real Salt Lake. Watching it on TV, I'm amazed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's probably the. I mean, what? Okay, so. And for I don't even know who your favorite MLS team is, but if you are FC Dallas man of the match, what do you get?
Ooh, Dallas, like a gun permit and.
You think you need permits in Texas?
That's true. That's like an insult to your Texasness. Ooh, like a buy one get one free at the Big Texan. Steakhouse in Amarillo, and then like a 6-pack of Shiner.
Nice, yeah, definitely some Shiner Bock, and I'd say a belt buckle.
They should really do that belt buckle for man of the match. FC Dallas, that's a free idea.
Yeah, it is all yours, Oscar Pereja. All right, so March 27th, Cary, North Carolina. Who's the man of the match on this roster? What are you most excited about in this announcement?
So I have to say, when we started the podcast, I made that joke about our average age for the podcast roster being 31 years and 361 days, which
is almost 32.
Pretty old. Because in the announcement of the roster, the U.S. Soccer Federation mentioned the average age of the roster 3 times. So, wait, oh, sorry, nope, 4 times.
Oh God, this is like Trump on a jobs report.
Exactly, it's like they mentioned the subheader, they mentioned the second paragraph, they mentioned it in the third paragraph in Dave Sarakin's quote, and then they mentioned it again in the bullet point facts to take away kind of roster notes section. So, in other words, like you and I thought about putting this in one of my things to take off. U.S. soccer is being a little bit thirsty when it comes to its youth development. It really, really, really wants us to know that it's got a lot of young players on the roster. So I thought that was a little heavy-handed, but okay. But that said, I agreed with, you know, I was excited by the picks for the most part. It is – who am I most excited about this? I mean, I think Anthony Robinson is a really interesting get. I feel like starting with this roster and starting with Anthony Robinson is like the least exciting place to start. But let me do it. Who cares? Because Robinson is a dual national who's maybe not on everyone's radar yet, but an interesting player, left back on loan at Bolton Wanderers from Everton. And so he plays left back in a system for the team Everton that owns him, who needs a left back. And because their current left back is charming, old, and well coiffed, but probably not going to be around forever. And so, like, he's a player who could make his way onto a Premier League roster in the next year or two. And that's exciting.
I mean, it is really exciting to see Robinson and, like, Timothy Weah be called up, but they can't actually be captained. But I actually think that's sort of, like, beside the point. I think, you know, we saw what happened with Jonathan Gonzalez, where we're just, like, not showing him enough love, we're not giving them enough attention. And this seems like a good move from the U.S., just being like, okay, we see you, we're paying attention to you. And one thing that really struck me is that there were some noticeable absences, like Pulisic and Aaron Janssen, but, I mean, Sarakin addressed both. You know, he said he's talked to Dortmund and Pulisic, decided to let him stay in Germany, sort of in, like, their crucial end-of-season battle for Champions League spots, but also maybe he's just tired because Weston McKennie's also in that battle, but, he'll be in Kerry. And Aaron Johansson maybe apparently has a knock and is unable to travel, but at least we know that, you know, there's been some communication and USSF has been very insistent about letting us know that they've been communicating with players.
Yeah, that's a good point and a good sign. Do you think this means that U.S. soccer is rooting for Dortmund over Schalke? I mean, they're pretty much fighting for spots, you know. So,
I mean, I think Pulisic didn't want to come. I think that he looked really tired in the last game I saw him. I think that he's fighting for his spot in Dortmund right now. He doesn't want to be pulled away from the team. I think that, you know, I think that this is just the two of them deciding on the story. I don't think there's anything wrong, by the way, with Pulisic not coming. I don't hold it against him at all, but that's what I think is going on.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think it would be – I was kind of not surprised to see that he wasn't on the roster. Obviously, I looked for him, but then, the reality of Dortmund, their schedule and all the games you play. And I think did Marco Reus go out injured recently too? So basically, you know, that opens up more playing time for Pulisic and makes his health and his spot on the roster even more important.
Yeah, I mean, it should also be said, not only is he playing for a spot on the roster, but more than likely that he's also playing for his move in the summer. So
potentially,
it's not a guaranteed thing, but it does seem very likely. But we can do that on a different podcast. But overall, I think we're happy about the roster. Yes.
Yeah. No. I'm happy about the roster.
Great.
Awesome. Who were you most intrigued to see, and who will you be disappointed if you don't see get any minutes?
I mean, I think because of the two near goals from Timothy Weah, I just want to see him play an entire game.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I thought, I would have liked to have seen even Josh Sargent. I know he's sort of just really starting to build his life over in Germany, but I think, like, Rubio Rubin doesn't really deserve a spot on the team right now. He didn't have a team for most of the season. Now he's on Tijuana. He started in Champions League, had a really nice cross, got the assist, but like he's actually not playing that well. And he's older than Sargent. Sargent is a future pillar of this team if his development goes the way people expect it to. I think Sargent probably deserved a call ahead of Rubio Rubin. And I love the Cholos. It,
but I also totally understand why not. I mean, I think at the place where Sargent's at, like, he's playing catch-up right now, trying to get to full speed in a new system, in a new league, new coaches, all that kind of stuff. And pulling him out of that environment is, it hampers his development, but B, it also probably is really disruptive for Werder Bremen. In terms of, like, the team. Can you imagine being, like, a 18-year-old German on that team and then being like, oh, the Americans got to go play for America in a friendly game, and he's going to be gone for a couple weeks or gone for a week or whatever. And then, like, he just joined us out of nowhere and they're spending all this money on him. You know, like, I think that you want to kind of, like, keep a player like Sargent just in the thick of it. Let him keep focusing on his thing. Let him keep working with his teammate, keep working in a new system, and not try to like jerk him around and pull him out of the squad and give him the star treatment kind of stuff.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I just think
you're so unused to me disagreeing with you that
I know.
Add a lot of words.
That's true, but if you're really making a statement about the future of the U.S. men's national team, Rubio Rubin doesn't deserve a spot on that team, at least not from what we've seen. But
yeah, maybe it's, I mean, you know, there's some strategy to be had for trying to get more Liga MX players on the roster and showing that you've got some, that you do have your eyes on those players. And I mean, that's it. I mean, I want to see Rubio Rubin play. So if he shows something, I'd be interested to see what he can show. But I don't imagine he'll be starting in the game.
Yeah. I mean, I also don't want to be too negative because we've been living in a world with a lot of bad news when it comes to the United States Soccer Federation and the U.S. Men's National Team. So I think this is a definite win, and this is a good, overall, a very good thing, and we should be focusing on that.
Yeah, and I think maybe to back up my point about, hey, it's great that maybe U.S. Soccer wants to show that it's got its fingers in lots of different pies and different leagues and has a variety of representation. That's the second bullet point in the roster notes, is that the 22 players come from 10 different countries. And they, I think it's something very conscious for U.S. soccer. That maybe not be the right way to construct a roster, and maybe that has nothing to do with the actual decision making for Sarakin and other folks, but at least in terms of how they market it, that's definitely something that U.S. soccer is trying to market.
Yeah, absolutely. Hands in a lot of pies, as you say.
What do you think the expression?
I don't know. I mean, what kind of pie do you think is the most popular at like the United States men's national team training dinner? If there's pie, what pie goes first?
You know, I think that sadly athletes are not super interesting or adventurous. I bet you it's like an apple pie.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Side note, what do you think are right now the cheapest tickets you can buy for the USA Paraguay international friendly?
$35.
Dude, do you even know US soccer? There's no way you could get $35 tickets to any men's game.
$70.
$80 right now.
That's bullshit. It's a friendly. Yes. That's bullshit. Yeah. It's a friendly in fucking Cary, North Carolina.
At Wakeman Soccer Park.
Ugh. Let's talk about soccer parks. See, I was. Did you watch the Dynamo in DC game? Did you see any?
Yeah, I saw. I saw. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Hey, I know.
I want to get our first explicit rating on iTunes. That was bullshit. The Maryland Soccerplex, the capacity is 4,000. Did you see DeMarcus Beasley's tweets afterwards?
Yep. Yeah, I did.
Epic. Said the locker rooms were just curtained off areas. This like looks like footage from one of those European youth practice squads that we all watch, you know, when we hear about like some American on some third-tier Portuguese team. I mean, great game, but how? How did this happen?
I know. It seems like, I mean, like, I used to play Ultimate Frisbee, and that it just looks like the kind of thing that would be an Ultimate Frisbee. Like, oh, the finals for a tournament in Ultimate Frisbee. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got some stands and we got some cameras up. Sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I teach out in a small town in Texas, in Elgin, Texas, and sometimes I'll go to the high school football games, and that stadium would have been better than this.
Yes. I don't know what to say. I mean, it sucks. And it's this weird, you know, dualism of MLS that you could have the Atlantas on one hand, and it's not like DC has you know, like a bad fan base or like a lack of culture around it. I was looking into, long story, but I have like some access to like a bunch of stadium data, and I was looking at like tailgates, and DC United has like one of the biggest tailgates in terms of like fan popularity of any team in any sport, and in America. And so like, yeah, obviously DC United has got good fan base and all that kind of stuff, but it's this weird dualism, as I was saying, about MLS, that you can have something like that and flip the channel and then see Atlanta, and then flip the channel and see Real Salt Lake's postcard, and see, you know, just keep going around, and you're just like, man, it's so bizarre.
Yeah, this weekend felt very MLS-y in sort of the worst possible ways. Does that make sense? Like, there's the Dynamo in DC. I mean, and I also want to say, like, this is to no fault of the players. This is not reflective of the players. Obviously, the players don't want to be playing in these environments. It just seemed like there were a lot of empty stadiums, a lot of, and I mean, like, anytime I have to watch NYCFC play at home, I get mad, you know? But also, I'm just an angry human being in general.
Yeah, say that second part. Yeah, just an angry.
Yeah, yeah. That's why my head is so big. It contains 20% more rage than most other human beings.
That's true. You got my like rage, hypothalamus or whatever it is.
Yeah, because you have none. But like, even the Minnesota Chicago Fire game, I understand that like Minnesota Stadium is being built, but I was like pretty grumpy when I was just like, why do I have to keep seeing this? Why do I keep having to see football fields? Why do I keep having to see this game being played on a baseball stadium? It just drives me totally insane.
But at the same time, you know, you've got like the legacy of the Crew, which is that it's like the first soccer specific stadium in the US. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're filling the seats either.
Yeah. And I mean, their game against the Union, that stadium was so empty, you could see Union spelled out in the seats. I mean, like, that was, and also the game itself was really boring. Like, Zardes had three chances he should have put away, but I mean,
All right, let's cut short our grumbling about MLS stuff, because you can always grumble about that. It's always going to be growing pains.
Yes,
you know.
But at what point is it not growing pains, right? Like, at what point can you just say like, oh no, yes, the league is still growing, but like, if we just keep calling it growing pains, then we get to like stop holding people accountable.
I'm gonna say something gross. Is MLS a startup? Like,
oh, I got you.
Like, in the sense that, like, sorry, I work at a startup. Full disclosure, you can hate me. But is it a startup in the sense that it's like, it is betting on the future growth, and it's trying to acquire teams and markets, and it's using that to kind of like fund, and knowing that it's like operating at a loss, but still willing to kind of keep doing what it's doing. And the thought that in 10 years, it's going to have acquired enough fan bases, enough like different locations in the country, that now it's going to be this big thing.
Either it's a startup or a pyramid scheme. And when it feels like a startup, I'm cool with it. When it feels like a pyramid scheme, I get furious.
Well, like, I would say that as like a criticism of it as a startup, but is an interesting way to think about a league is still as so banking on a future growth. But that said, at the same time, maybe that's that's what it was trying to correct for, and it continues to try to correct for with its single entity nature of trying to budget and limit spending and be really careful so that teams and the league doesn't go bankrupt like previous attempts had done in America.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should focus on not the MLS-y games this week.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, yeah. What was your favorite game that you saw this weekend?
Well, I think that we have to talk at least a little bit about the Atlanta game. because of the Carlton's debut, or not his debut, but his actual first significant minutes on the pitch. So what did you think about that? What did you think about his performance?
I mean, he's just so hungry. Like, as soon as he gets on the field, he's chasing people down. Aaron's throwing. You know, he gives up the ball that eventually leads to the Whitecaps goal, immediately comes back, has that beautiful cross to create the fourth goal that completes a hat trick for Martinez. I mean, just put him on the field. He seems like somebody who's experiencing exponential growth. He seems like somebody who, as soon as he steps on the field, like all the sort of lethargy that I can sometimes feel emanating from the screen in certain MLS games sort of gets blown away.
He was definitely, I mean, I think we also have this risk all the time of like second guessing everything that happens on in an MLS game as being MLS-y. And, you know, like if it weren't MLS and you're just like, oh yeah, this team made this sub and this sub brought a whole bunch of energy, you'd be like, yep, that was the right move to make. He's a sub who picked up the pace in the game, was really, as you said, hungry, wanted to get involved, really sped up the game, kept things moving. And even for the fourth goal, you obviously got the sense that the way it was playing out, you know, Almiron and others were kind of comfortable to slow down the game after the Whitecaps counterattack and just be like, all right, let's kill the clock a little bit. And there's a bunch of just sort of like quick passes or like just passes, triangle drill kind of stuff to slow the game down. And then Carlton was like, okay, I'm bored. Let's crank it up. And then he made that cross that Martinez scored, as you said. And so you're right. I think that he was high impact, but you know, maybe it's not like a, you know, just as like he's solving this lethargy in MLS, but really like he came into this game. That's one of those, like the dregs of the game. Vancouver's playing down a man. They're losing. He just comes in, picks up the pace and like is the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, if Tata Martino would have said, okay, I want you to keep the ball. I want you to keep it calm, you know, wind down the clock, he would have done it. I think it's like he clearly must have said, okay, man, here's your shot kind of thing. Now, yeah. maybe not like the only shot he'll get, but like go out there and play. Like Tata Martino's a smart guy. Like I think that he's giving, like him giving Carlton the license is a really big deal.
Yeah. And it shows too, the way Carlton played, it wasn't just that he was hungry, as you said, it was that he was like confident.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So confident. As you said, like the first thing he does is he earns a throw in by pounding a defender who's trying to like shepherd the ball. And then he just does not shy away. He's calling for the ball. He's, you know, moving around up top, trying to find angles. He's like taking some gambles. He gets an early pass where he receives at the top of the top of the box and kind of three guys close in and he tries to do this kind of like touchback to another Atlanta player who's streaking in and doesn't quite put enough on it and turns the ball over. But like the thought is immediately there. You can see it clicking in him to set up the run of another player. He just didn't seem to hesitate at all.
Yeah, it was a really boring first half, but that second half was excellent. If you're an Atlanta fan, and if you're a fan of the U.S. men's national team going forward, I'm happy that he got some minutes. For some reason, this is meaningless, but Andrew Carlton kind of creeps me out.
He does look, well, I don't like to make fun of the way people look.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. So, I mean, I'm just as bad, but maybe it's also because I just like, I yearn for the day when there is like an unapologetically atheist athlete, because I get so sick of the all glory to him tweets that I read a million times a day. And I mean, not like I'm like anti-Christian.
No, here's the thing. So like I keep saying, athletes are not cool. If there was an unapologetically atheist athlete, he would just be like the unapologetically atheist kid at your high school. Yeah. That would be like the level of his discourse. And you'd be like, okay, great. I just have this guy who's like, hey, man, God's not real. Why are you guys talking about God so much? You'd be like, oh, my God, this guy's an idiot. So it's just like athletes don't like cool bands. Athletes aren't cool. They can't express themselves very well. You know, we can't expect these guys to be to be like bastions of humanity and sensitivity. It's just not what they do.
Yeah, I guess like when the face of coolness in the MLS is Kyle Beckerman, you know that athletes are just not cool.
Kyle Beckerman, is he really the coolest?
I feel like that's how people sell him. You know, he's got dreads. He's got, like, tribal tattoos, you know. He's just a hodgepodge of...
It raises an interesting question about, like, who is the face of cool in MLS, or who is the face of cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting discussion that I think I could have for a long time, because I see so many uncool things happen. You know, like, man buns, bleached hair... I was watching the FC Dallas game with my wife, and she was like, "Oh, that guy looks like Zayn from One Direction." And she was talking about Rudy, and I was like, "Oh, damn it, you're right."
That's amazing.
I know, I know. Man,
Susie coming in huge, 3-on for me.
I know. She definitely makes the watching games way more enjoyable.
There's absolutely something about men's soccer styles that does scream out boy band.
I mean, look at Gyazi Zardes's hair.
Yeah. Also, Novakovic, I made this note here. Novakovic facial hair looks like prepubescent Zlatan.
Yikes.
It does. Look at the man.
Like, Zlatan is probably the least cool person in the world. He is like one standard deviation away from comic book guy. Like, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is a loser who's incredible at soccer.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I think like maybe that's the peculiar like essence of athletes like psychology, which is that they, against all odds, are confident. Mm. And they have like they just have this supreme confidence matched with like a half a percent, one in a million technical ability, and they just are absolutely unflummoxed by anything. Which also includes their choice of t-shirts, hairstyles, facial hair, etc. They're just totally confident.
Yes. I mean, and it's also like when you see an athlete who does something even remotely human, you're just like, this man is the coolest. Like when I found out that like some Pompey defender is going for a master's in history, not an inherently cool thing, but I was like, holy crap, this guy is going to school. You know, like this guy's getting a master's degree. I know a lot of people who have master's in history. Most of them are not very cool.
Very true. Yeah, I remember finding out that Bellerin like reads and listening to movies. Oh yeah, like Bellerin's kind of cool. And then I just saw some like Bellerin at some fashion shows, and you're like, oh my god, that is a confident man. Holy god, Hector Bellerin.
Yeah, I've seen the pajamas that he wears. I totally understand. But I want to know who the coolest MLS athlete is, right?
Yeah, I am with you. I think that let's stew on this. And listeners, if you've got suggestions for who you think is actually cool, hit us up, softtattooedmillionaires@gmail.com, or send us a tweet at softtattoofc on Twitter.
Cool. All right, that's going to be all for this week. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jack. Have a good night.
I'm Max on the top bunk. Sleep tight.